episode of the Silly with the Wooligans. Mitch, Bradley.
Hello.
Matthew Bird is on holiday with the family.
Yes, he got out of the country.
Smug holiday bastard. So, sitting in, since he donated last year to Charity du Jour.
I think it was actually 2 years
ago. No, we're just going to say last year. We're going to ignore the date.
Just the key thing to take away here is we keep our promises.
It may take us a while.
Yes.
But we keep our promises. Yes. Helping out tonight in place of Matthew Bird. Andrew Vernon, how are you, sir?
Good. Hello.
So this is what happens when you make a substantial donation to Charity du Jour.
We nice keep telling you no. No. We'll get around to it. Maybe next week.
And then we're like, oh, shit, we need to do that.
Yeah. Hey, you've got 10 minutes. Can you get here?
We did give him a day notice.
Okay.
Give him a day notice. Good to have you, though.
Thank you.
Welcome to the couch. It's not like a casting couch, though.
No.
Thank God.
No. Oh, well.
I mean, it's been used that way before.
Yeah. How do you think Jeremy's gotten all those appearances?
Oh.
We are going to have a call-in guest in a little bit, too, as well.
We are.
Since everything is going on in the news lately with MLS for the Lou, our good friend Tom Strunk, a.k.a. Fred, will be calling in.
He was in those meetings the other day when Dandy Don Garber was in town to kind of talk to the who's who of St. Louis business elites.
Like, and there's that picture that comes out, and you see these billionaires in the picture. You saw Jim. You saw Carolyn. You saw Dad.
Andy, yeah.
Andy? No Tom.
No, I think Tom was taking the picture.
I think so, too.
Tom and Quartermanch were behind the lens on that. That's how that goes.
But we will talk to Tom in a little bit here to get an update. But most importantly, before we get to that, because that's way off in the future.
That's way off in the future, yeah.
The present and the past, I hate to say the past because now I sound like one of those old assholes. The past, as in a few days ago.
Yes.
We had actually had, for the first time ever, a home opener for a season opener.
Right.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, adding to the atmosphere, Indy. I call them Cincy.
Well, they're Cincy Jr. with all their
signings. They took about
half
the players, yeah. But Indy had about 200 fans there. Came down to the tailgate ahead of time.
Very nice people.
Slaughterhouse 19 and the Brickyard Battalion had a good time with those guys.
Exchanged beers.
They brought a lot of Indiana beer, and we served them a lot of St. Louis beer. You didn't know what to expect going into that game.
Not at all. And it's funny, too, because even on Sunday, there was somebody from the USL who said, who'd have thought on the first day that Indy and Louisville and somebody else, he had said, we're going to lose. And I was like, well, I thought Indy was going to lose.
I think he wasn't saying it. It was a compliment to St. Louis, I think. Seriously, the last couple weeks when people have been asking me, what do you think of the team? My standard response is, well, teams like Indy and Nashville went out and spent a lot of money. That being said, I think we played okay. I don't think we played great. But I'm glad we got Indy now. Yeah. Versus 6 weeks from now, I think they're going to be a much better team.
I think we will too. Yes. I think we looked a lot more cohesive than they did. We both had opening day flubs and missteps and mistakes.
We showed a lot of fight. We showed a lot of grit. There were things to like about what was going on out there. Again, I don't think the offense is as polished, but I mean, Jeremy
connected twice.
Well, yeah, but Jeremy and Matt Bird argue every year about where are the goals coming from. And I mean, Jeremy always tells him, you know, the offense is the last part that clicks. Because even the two goals we had weren't beautiful goals.
No, but that's...
They were scrappy goals.
But
they were
that's
good
guys
goals.
Being where they need to be.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's a testament to the individual efforts.
Exactly.
More than the team effort at that point in time, but...
I mean, I'm happy with the win. I'm really happy that when they went a goal down, they didn't bury their heads. This team keeps fighting.
Oh, my God.
There was no doubt that they were going to get back in it. I think Ant basically said the same thing in his, you know, post-game conference. Yeah, it wasn't great, but he's real happy with how they responded and how they fought together.
Speaking of Ant and post-game here, I ran up to the park today to get something from the trailer. And as I'm pulling in, some of the boys are walking back up from the training center. And tried to run over Sam Fink just for laughs because I think he'd break my truck instead of,
that
you know, hurt
be.
Him.
Yeah.
But, talking to him, he said everybody's feeling good. Ant did not let up one bit on practice today, was constantly reinforcing the mistakes they had made on Saturday. I don't want to say I feel sorry for him to have a bus disaster in practice today, because you're a professional, that's what you got to do. But it's also good that Ant didn't walk away saying, this was perfect, or this was good. Yeah. It's reinforce, get at it.
I mean, the last game of the season, Ant was saying, well, we're still not where we want to be. I mean, that's just his demeanor as a coach, his sort of default setting. And no, I don't think, especially this early in the season, keep running them hard, keep working. Because we've got two big games. I mean, we talk about Indy being tough. Now we're headed to Nashville, the other team I mentioned a few minutes ago that's splashed a lot of cash. And then we come home again to the Rowdies, which, give or take, but we know the Rowdies are always a good team.
Absolutely.
So that's three big teams. And, I mean, if we can put up, you know, 6 to 9 points out of these three games, that'll be great.
Well, and I do think we can. I mean, that's, you know, nothing against Nashville. We saw them in preseason. Did we see Nashville in preseason? No, we saw Memphis. That's who I was. Yeah. I'm sorry. My bad. But, yeah, you know, like you said, Nashville's going after it, but they're also, you know, how many – they didn't bring back quite the number, I don't think, that we brought back, but they're also looking forward to MLS. Let's get them now before they've had a few games under their belt to gel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and again, Indy's a really good team on paper.
And you can tell they're going to be better.
Yeah, they had the individual players were fantastic. It's just a matter of gelling, so let's get them while we can. I don't know. Did you see the standings? Did you see where Louisville's at?
I don't know. Andrew, did you?
I did see where Louisville's
at. Where are they? They weren't in the first cut.
They weren't.
So I didn't look past that because we're in the, you know, top half of the table. How far down were they?
They were 16th.
So that's pretty low.
That is. It's one game, but I'm still going to enjoy shit out of it.
No, and I tweeted at them, you know, yesterday, and they just said we don't want to talk about it. You know, but you know what?
You know what? All they have to do is just hold up their jersey with two stars on it, and we can kind of shut up there.
But I also, I was tempted to say, fuck that, because we had to earn when we were at the bottom of the table.
Yep.
They just lost one fucking game, and they get bottom of the table.
Yeah.
It's always harder for us. It's always harder for us. I mean, do you know how many games we had to lose to get to the bottom of the table? It was one game.
But you know what? This St. Louis is a blue-collar working city. You know, they have to work for everything. I know. You have to work to be the bottom.
They're a bunch of derby dandies.
I know. This is true.
But, yeah, North Carolina rung up four on them.
And that was
a surprise.
That was actually where I was going to head with that. It wasn't that they lost that I was surprised at. It was the fact that North Carolina put up a four spot.
Yeah.
And for them to get, it was 4-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't even put in one, which at least if they put, you know, if it was four, I was like, oh, it was 4-2 or, you know, nope.
No. And I mean, again, just like we can't get too high on ourselves after one game. Louisville's still the class of the league.
Oh, they're going to turn around and just start mauling people, I'm sure.
But we do start to get a peek at the post-James O'Connor era. I mean, this is Hackworth's first full season where he's had them, you know, through training camp and picked some guys to fill spots. They're still going to be a good team, but maybe just a notch below where O'Connor had them.
And again, there is some parity to this league because it's second division and there is turnover.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a slight against any team or any individual. It's just guys are on short contracts. They move on.
And the new teams coming in are spending more than ever before. I mean, I mentioned it to somebody last week that this is an entirely different league from when we came in.
Pat Barry says it all the time.
Yeah. Well, and Ant even said, you know, when he played in USL down in Orlando, there were 9 teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a great point.
We're not that many years on where
he's not old and gray like us yet.
No,
it's an amazing transition for this league just to see the improvement.
So every year the bar is raised. I mean, Birmingham's
they raised the bar.
They raised the bar exactly. Raise your game, you know, be champion. Now Birmingham coming in spending tons more than we spent in our first year.
They probably spent more in their first year than we did in two years.
Yeah, and then you look at some of the older teams. I mean, the Kickers deciding, let's go down a notch. You know, we're not ready to spend at that level because it really is a challenge for some of these smaller markets.
And kudos to the league, too. It seems, and obviously it's first week, but it seems they've even upped their ante with the graphics and the effort from production, not just in the game, but the website, the tweet today when they had the standings, there was some action to it. It wasn't just, here's a graphic. Right. The league is showing that it is a competitive, viable, professional situation.
They're investing some of that money from these big expansion fees. They're nowhere near the MLS expansion fees, but it is a lot of money coming into the league, and they're reinvesting that. They're doing things with USL Productions, which helps on the broadcasts. Obviously, I didn't get to see the broadcast this week because we were at the game.
I did watch it Saturday night after everybody left, and probably wasn't the best time to watch it because I was still enjoying the win, we'll say.
Yeah.
But, So, watching the game, first off, we'll just start at the very beginning. Major, major, major kudos to Derek and Mike and especially Stewie and everybody that helped with the TIFO. It looked unbelievable on the feed.
Good.
It's
always weird from the stands because we're kind of at a bad angle. You never know what it's going to look like.
And it's there for a minute and a half, right. So you don't really get the full. But seeing it from...
The TV feed is from a little higher angle, so they get a better look at it.
And it looked amazing. Good. First of all, it looked huge. It made Jimmy Big Flag's flag look tiny. It was monstrous. It was perfect rollout. It looked unbelievable. I think they used it again during the halftime, the clip of it. And it was just unbelievable. Those guys busted their asses.
Yeah, they didn't... This can be said one of two ways. They didn't have a lot of time, partially because they got started late. But what they got done in a short amount of time was amazing, and it looked great. And thank you to everybody who played a part in that.
And there's so many people that jumped in, and I'm not going to name all the names because I know there was like 20 people.
Yeah.
But the good, part of it is, too, is that you see the same people like Sarah and Karen there every time, the Hakes, who are there every single time. Yeah. And that's what this is. This group has always been DIY, get it done, by committee and effort, and they did. It looked unbelievable. So then the game starts.
Yeah.
But you know what? Before even the game, drum corps, chants, did they sound awesome on the feed. Especially when our friends...
Mojo Soccer.
Yeah, I... Seeing the one guy come in full African headdress.
The headdress, yeah.
With the bongo was it looks amazing in pictures.
Yeah.
But those, we've said it 100 times how great they are. We said it last week when Zach sat on the mic.
Yeah.
They bust their asses. They miss a lot of the game because of the work, but it sounded huge on that feed.
And they've added some new chants, some good stuff, stuff that, obviously everybody recycles some of the same chants and stuff, but they're trying to put some new original stuff in. And
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
It's pretty original.
And I think it's working. It'll take a little while for everybody to get used to the new chants.
Once they cycled through 2 or 3 times, people were picking up on them.
So.
And Capos and Costume was in town. That was awesome.
Yep.
Seeing his energy, and it was just great. And then the team got out, and the new kits look amazing on field. There's no question. Love the new kits. And again, play wasn't great, but we saw just that scrappiness.
I wouldn't say it's bad. I just think it's early in the season. And we're, even though they had a few preseason games, the first teamers weren't always out there together. Now they are. And, it'll be interesting to see how they gel and how they move forward. But it'll take a month or so before they're all exactly on the same page.
Jake's penalty save was huge.
Crazy, yeah.
Unfortunately, defense broke down on the ensuing corner kick.
And that is something we saw, years previous, is the immediate letdown after a big physical play. That just kills Ant because he rides these guys to be so tough mentally, and all that emotion into that penalty save, and then to just let up for an instant and immediately lose focus. It's got to be something they work on, and I'm sure they will. But we saw it a few times last year, too. It's
not new.
But, like I said, they didn't quit. They, immediately got back on the train and started working.
And that's the other thing, too. And this has been a staple of Ant's team last year, this year. It's going to be hard to outwork us a lot of nights.
Yeah.
Whether or not we do well or the connections are made or the talent is there is going to be one thing. But he's not going to let us get outworked very often.
Well, and they don't dwell when bad shit happens, and it's going to happen throughout the season. Sometimes because you take your foot off the gas, like we did that instant. Sometimes it'll be a referee call. Sometimes it's just the ball doesn't bounce your way. We know the guys will keep working.
Andy, anything? You just enjoying the show?
So, you were working that night, so.
I was. So, you know, but I'm a product of an 80s child, so I'm taught to be seen and not heard.
Well.
48 years of practice. Yeah. So here we
go. I'm 70s. Where's the blow?
I got nothing. Yeah. I got nothing. I'm in between you, so. It's, you know.
No, I mean, but again, I think all good stuff, all good steps leading to next week, like you said, another good game in Nashville, and again, two different experiences. Mitch and I will be making the trip to Nashville, and Andrew, you'll be kind of heading up the watch party at Llewellyn's. It'll be our first ever watch party. You two know more about Llewellyn's than I do because you kind of scouted it last year, and you've talked to them again this year. Why don't you tell people a little bit about what to expect at Llewellyn's?
I think Llewellyn's is going to work out for us. Like you said, we tried last year. There were a couple things that didn't work out in our favor, scheduling, finances. But to hear that they have come back and they want to be on board and a big-time sponsor and a nice venue, I think it's going to do us well. It's going to serve us well. It's a good time. You're going to have a full food menu, full bar menu, plenty of parking.
Ale de Or on tap.
Ale de Or on tap. So lots of TVs, lots of places. So in places past, we've had a hard time finding TVs because they'd only have three or four on. You go back to the ITAP days where you'd be crammed in on two TVs.
Yeah, so, and that's one thing, too, is that they have the giant projector. They have multiple TVs as well. They have the two rooms if they need to. So you're absolutely right. There is a lot of opportunities to have a good perspective to see a screen.
Yeah, and if you can't find a place to sit at the bar, at a table, don't worry about it. I mean, stand around like we always do. There will be a TV somewhere close.
And that being said, it is worth mentioning, this weekend is St. Patrick's Day weekend. That is Llewellyn's biggest weekend of business ever.
Yep.
It is kind
you
of...
You don't say?
Yeah. who'd have thought, right?
Really?
You know, it's...
Those shamrocks aren't just for show.
No, they are not just for show. But, you know, it's going to be packed in there. And obviously for... Obviously for obvious reasons, they can't reserve space for us because they're going to be doing a lot of business. So be accommodating Saturday.
Don't be discouraged if it's overly crowded. This is their, like you said, the busiest day of the year for them. Don't assume that it's going to be this difficult every single time.
Well, and we always know the first sort of away game watch party tends to be a little bigger. There'll be a lot of people from the team there. Mm-hmm. I would say our normal watch parties will be very comfortable there.
Sure, sure. Well, and comfortable because they have the accommodating
space.
Right.
I mean, we can still have a big party, and it's still comfortable.
Yeah, and for those that may not have caught the AGM, if it was too long for you to listen to the whole thing, and you're just catching on now because it's 20 minutes in, you know, they do have a app that you can put iOS and Android both. Get it for multiple reasons. The first being they're going to send out notifications from it, which are, you know, deals, those kind of things. And they're going to be able to publish to non-Lulligans too as well, saying, hey, SDLFC is on TV this weekend. Come out, have food, have beer with us and the Lulligans and SDLFC.
And I think, I mean, the partnering with Llewellyn's is a little more... a little more specialized, let's say, than when we were with ITAP or when we were with Kirkwood Station. I mean, Llewellyn's is a, you know, Welsh/Celtic kind of bar. They do show soccer there on weekends. I know the Arsenal group meets there and watches games. So those people who just come and hang out at Llewellyn's will be getting those notifications, and maybe they don't know there's a St. Louis FC watch party, and that might... Get some new people to come out.
Yep, and you know when you sign up with that app too, there's a rewards program. So they'll push things to you from time to time. There's an accrual rate where you can accrue things as you go. So make sure you get that, sign up for it, because it's really going to pay off for you. So, I mean, for what they're going to be willing to do for us, they're going above and beyond for us. So no disrespect, certainly, to any of the places we've been in the past, but again,
every year, whatever we do gets a little better.
We do. Yes. And our name kind of speaks for ourselves. That was kind of the first thing that they talked about in our meeting, that the reputation that we have, and if we weren't having as good of a reputation as we have, they wouldn't be going so far above and beyond for us. So,
well, and it also goes to show that, you know, in their partnering with the team, it was, I don't want to say it wasn't contingent, but it was important that they get our support as
right.
well. It,
no, they go together.
Together effort. Yeah. Yep.
And it comes to with the whole idea of them doing the trolley too, again, for the pre-games. So, you know, they're going to run a special run just for Luligans to be able to make the tailgate.
That's going
to
be a great deal.
Because, I mean, we know people have said, I would love to do the pub to park thing, but it doesn't get here early enough for the tailgate. Or I can only do pub to park, so that's why I always miss your tailgates. Well, Llewellyn's and the team and we kind of all talked, and this is a perfect way to kind of help that problem a little bit. We do ask, though, that if you're going to take advantage of that service from Llewellyn's, you know, make sure you spend some time there, either with the watch parties or get there a little early and have a couple beers before, or when you go back after a game, have
get
a couple beers.
Eat,
yeah.
And in talking to Kevin from the team today too, they are there's when you walk in, there's the main bar, the seating, and all that kind of stuff. Off to the right, there's a large, I don't want to call it banquet room, because it's not a banquet room,
right.
But there's a large room that they
private event room.
Private event room. And then there's a smaller one on the backside. And in that smaller one, there was a lot of arcade games and stuff like that for kids. And they are keeping some of them, but they said, you know what, we got rid of some of the ones that people just didn't play. And they've got stuff from the team that they're going to hang up there. They're getting one of our Luligan flags that Jimmy made that they're going to hang up there. They're really going to push that partnership with the team and with us to decorate and
hopefully say, every time somebody's in there, they'll see the brand.
And they're going to see that Ale d'Or tap, too.
Yep.
So, which, again, that's something else about Saturday. Thank you so much to our friends at Schlafly. I can't even begin to tell you how awesome they've been. First off, they brought the big, huge van.
Yep.
It has tappers on the side. They didn't have those hooked up because they just brought a cooler full of Ale d'Or.
Yep.
And they also graciously gave us a keg of Ale d'Or for our trailer. Lo and Will have been unbelievable with us. They played Tallboy Roulette with us before the game.
Yeah, I really wanted a picture for Schlafly social media of them drinking Natty Ice or whatever they pulled out of the bag.
Yeah, they didn't do too good on the wins.
Yeah.
And we made sure at the end of the game that Will was one of the presenters of the Man of the Match bucket because
he also was the
done.
Official coin flipper out there.
Oh, he was
before the game started. Yep.
Wow, so he got all sorts. And I gotta say, I was watching the video. I think Petrillo took because it was a good view. And you know the sha-la-la starts, and I don't, you know, it's just such joy at the moment. I didn't remember the details, but in the corner of the video, I see Costin, Will, and I arm in arm dancing in circles. Celebrating.
And Will's a good 6'5".
Yeah, he's hard to miss. You know, he's hard to miss. So it was, I mean, again, they were so happy. And, you know, I sent somebody taking a picture. I think Bramlett took a picture of the three of us, and I forwarded it. And he's like, thank you guys for welcoming us into your family.
Yeah, Schlafly is going to be a big part of what we're doing this season. I mean, already the first week, stepping up with the beverage donations, but also the raffle donations. They donated a fire pit. We raffled off a fire pit.
That was the funniest thing when people walked up and saw that was the raffle item. They're like, it's a fucking fire pit.
We're not kidding.
Yeah, it is a fire
pit. Like, people expected to show up with, you know, Brad's sense of humor. There's two logs and a lighter.
And a bucket or something.
Yeah, but no, it was like a nice fire pit like you would go out and purchase for your nice home.
Yeah, yeah. Or your not so nice
home. Or your not so nice home.
It doesn't have to be a nice home.
But yeah, I mean, but Schlafly's going to be doing a lot with us, both with buses and raffles and pregame stuff and, you know, different events that they're going to be working with us on this year. Just really happy and really really proud that they're part of it.
And they're happy and proud to be part of it. That's the best part, getting that feedback from them where it's, you know, you always wonder, you know, you bring somebody new into the family and, you know, we're a unique bunch.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it's like what we say with people. Get them out once, they'll have a good time, and they'll come back.
My neighbor Joel, great example. He doesn't remember most of the day.
He checked out a little early on us.
We came back here afterwards. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden he gets up, leaves. I see him go out the door, text him, where are you going? Got to go home and puke. And I was like, okay. But he had a blast. He talked to Zach about music for a while. He's a musician.
Yeah.
He's up in the stands. He's laughing. He's dancing, chanting. It talked to him on Monday when we were picking up the kids from the bus stop, and he's like, that was some of the best fun I've ever had.
And yeah, and that's a perfect example of a guy who's not a soccer guy. He's nope. not, I mean...
His son plays soccer, but his son's yeah. 5 or 6.
You and know, I mean, I think in St. Louis, we all grow up with soccer as a tangential to our lives, whether you played it as a kid or your friends played it or it was at your high school or whatever, but he's not your typical soccer
he's
fan.
He's from Minnesota.
Right. You know, well, there you go, yeah.
You know, obviously it's gotten a little bit better around right. the nation, but yeah, it's not a part of his fabric the way it is the rest of us. And for him to just be like, that was amazing. He can't wait for the next game that he can go to.
There you go.
So
somebody else I want to give a shout out to. I know our caller is going to be calling in pretty soon here maybe, but we're talking about Schlafly. We're talking about Llewellyn's. Second Shift. The last weekend, or last podcast, we were at Second Shift. Libby always takes amazing care of us. She's amazing. And I think everybody had a really good time. It was a little more crowded than we thought because there was another event. But, I mean, just fun as always. And Second Shift is a great company to work with.
And, again, Brueligan's is an amazing beer.
Yep.
Andy's got one in hand. The new cans with the green were awesome. Yeah. I thought that was a super awesome touch.
Gave away some free mugs again.
Yeah, in fact, I've got like 2 or 3 in my bucket here. I just noticed. I did because there were some left over at the end of the night on tables. I'm like, I'm taking those.
Yeah.
So if somebody needs one, reach out to me. I'll hold you one.
So, yeah, definitely swing by Second Shift to pick up some beer or just if you're looking for a place to go out and hang. Gorilla Street Food's there. Nice place to hang out.
Speaking of beer,
yep,
the non-alcoholic kind even.
Oh, yeah. Another new company we're working with.
Our friends at Wellbeing came out. They popped up the tent. They had the non-alcoholic. The Register, thank you so much to April Register, Mark Register, and Mike McHugh for working with them to get this set up. Will from Schlafly went over and had, and he's like, that is a good beer.
Yeah.
You never know it's non-alcoholic. So when somebody involved in a high-quality brewery says that, you know it's good.
Yeah.
But it's going to be great. And again, you're talking to two of the biggest drunks at the games here.
Yes.
And driving drunk is not good. My uncle was killed by a drunk driver, so it means a little bit more.
One of us usually stops drinking at the start of the game to sober up.
It's usually you.
Yes.
It's usually not me. I'm not going to lie. But take advantage of this if you can. It is a great opportunity. You know, you can still enjoy a nice cold beer, and it's a good beer, and you're ready to go. But if not, get a ride.
Yep.
Go talk to the McHughes or to the Registers and get it worked out. We'll figure it out.
Yep.
Tailgate, though. Again, our tailgate crew. Blown it out of the water. Breakfast, or I guess brunch, technically.
Brunch, yeah.
That would be brunch.
Yep.
Biscuits and gravy, eggs, sausage, potatoes. I ate way more than I should have, but it was a good base. Everybody, even the indie people are like, your tailgate is amazing.
And they do
and
a good tailgate.
They do a great tailgate. The new trailer was a huge smashing hit. The awning came in real handy with the rain. I think people were very appreciative of that at one point.
But even the weather, I mean, when we were setting up for the tailgate, I just remember me and you standing there, and I was just kind of gritting my teeth. And you said, what's wrong? I said, I hate this fucking weather. But it literally quit.
Oh my
as
God.
Soon as people started showing up, it dried up a little
bit. And then we go into the game, and the sun was
out.
Sun
came out. It was a wonderful night.
Beautiful. Afternoon. Wasn't even night.
Yep.
But no, it could not have been better. So let's go ahead and take a little break here. We'll get our good friend Fred on the phone. And we'll be right back.
Yep.
Hi, this is Ian Dark of ESPN, and you're listening to This Is Silly Podcast with the St. Lulligans.
And that's our good friend, Ian Dark, because we're so close.
Personal friend.
We're like that. I don't know. I just found that one, and I thought it was great to pull back. I hadn't heard that one.
Jason Petrillo stuck a mic in his face and said, say this.
And he did.
And he did.
It was great. So we are joined not by Ian Dark, unfortunately, but a man of equally high profile, Mr. Tom Strunk, who is CFO of everything, St. Louis FC, Worldwide Technology, you know,
St. Louis Scott Gallagher.
St. Louis Scott Gallagher. I mean, he could be my CFO at this point in time too. You want to hand?
Well, thanks, Mitch. That's a very high standard working for the Mitch Maurice Incorporated company. So I'm happy to be here. Right. Thanks for that.
I was going to say, wait, he's going to steal money from me, isn't he? This explains how MLS for the Lou is getting done. Stealing from the little man.
Funny.
Well, but I mean, obviously, we're having you on because you did meet with Don Garber and some of the business who's who of St. Louis the other day.
Tell us
why he was in and what came of the meeting.
Sure. So it was definitely a good day for the effort. And I think, just for soccer, as we continue to try to grow the game here and, in our community, you know, so, the commissioner came in very specifically and quietly, if you will, to meet with a group of CEOs that, between the Taylor family and Jim and our contacts, we put together. So there was 24 or 25 CEOs in the room representing the largest companies in the area. And as we've talked about and you've heard and seen reported over the past 3 to 4 weeks, you know, understanding what kind of support there is at the corporate level and specifically the bigger sponsors, stadium naming rights and jersey rights, is something that's top of mind for not just the commissioner, but the expansion committee and the league itself, the board of governors. And so, the goal of the meeting was to introduce the commissioner to those CEOs and to get some feedback, on the level of support that exists here in St. Louis. Go ahead. Sorry, Brett.
I was going to say, I think I've seen this, you know, basically reported over the last couple of days and even going back to your last trip to New York. And there always seems to be two gut reactions to this news. One is, oh my God, we haven't done enough. We don't have enough sponsors. And Don Garber came into town to try to help us sell. And then I've seen the other reaction is, I think we've got a lot of interest. And the group kind of wants to show off, look, these are the people we're talking to, and just kind of letting Don Garber know where we are in the process. And then if he can answer any questions, that's also a bonus. Is it?
I like the way you teed that up. I understand both sides of that reaction. And I think both hopefully come from a good spot of support. And they want to see this happen. But it's absolutely more of the latter.
Okay.
You know, as mentioned, you know, it, and the commissioner's been clear. It's down to us and one other city, Sacramento.
Yeah, I think that is something new that came out the last couple of days, though. I mean, so let's don't gloss over that. I mean, we know those have been kind of the two front runners, but he basically said now it's us in Sacramento.
Yeah, he did. He did confirm that. Okay. Even more specifically. You know, I think it's been pretty widely reported that that was the speculation, but and we've been operating in that mode, but. But certainly he confirmed that over the last couple of days. But then back to the two scenarios you framed up there, Brad. Absolutely, it is more of the second scenario where confirmation of support. We had focused in kind of three different areas originally. And first was getting the ownership group settled. And then it became, let's make sure we get the land secured and we get the stadium plan. To a spot where we're really happy with it and we've checked that box. And then as a result of that previous visit to New York, as it's been widely reported and we chatted about, they gave us some homework. And so this was a check-in, if you will, on that homework. So we're pleased with our progress. No one's panicking. We think we've got a great group and a lot of momentum behind this. And as the commissioner said and reported, he was very impressed by the caliber of support that he saw. I guess it was yesterday.
And something else that, you know, we chatted about after the last meeting is sometimes, you know, it's good to have a vision, but we are looking 2, 3, 4 years out. And that's a lot of money that whoever's going to come in on the naming rights or the jersey, that it's a lot of money they're going to have to spend. So sometimes having Don Garber in the room to say, you know, kind of explain some of the dynamics and where they see the MLS going can help you seal the deal.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves. You know, there's, what are there, five major league commissioners in our country? So he's a member of a very select group. And so just has a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge of the game and sports in general. And, you know, these are male and female CEOs from very successful companies that have been successful in their own right. And so kind of hearing some of the business of sport and some of that is very appealing, you know, to an audience like that. And it does, it helps do two things. One, it helps us get our job done, which is try to bring MLS here for our city. And then secondly, it was a chance for St. Louis to show off in terms of all the great things we've got going on downtown, from all the development that you've heard us say over and over, from the Arch all the way to Forest Park, to immigrants moving in and our strong immigrant population, to millennials and Cortex. And, you know, I won't go on with the whole St. Louis commercial, but, you know, we give ourselves a bad rap sometimes as a city and a community. And it was a good day to be able to show off all the positive things that we think we can build on. So
you made a comment in there and it sparked a little thing, a thought process in me here too, is that about bringing in, you know, the business leaders into the world of sports. And that is something that we've seen with hashtag CKB, Carolyn Kendall Betts. You know, she didn't come from a sports background like you and Jim. She didn't have that deep-rooted growing up with the, you know, the soccer infrastructure and environment and world. She's a season ticket holder now. She was out there. She was out there Saturday. She was having. She presented the man of the match back bucket with Will from Schlafly.
I think I annoyed her because I was sharing my two cents to her the second half of the game, and she just wanted to watch the game. She kept telling me, "Brad, leave me alone."
To be fair, every woman tells
you. Yeah, that's so true. Man, too. I annoy equal opportunity.
But she seems to be adapting to the game pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you guys have heard me say this before, but. I'm excited and, you know, just very fortunate to be able to work. I'll just use my term, behind the scenes with Jim and his family and the Taylors, just as this whole thing is unfolded and come together. And when Carolyn called me in the off season and said, "Hey, I think Adam and I are going to grab some season tickets for St. Louis FC. What do you think about that?" And I'm like, "I think that's a wonderful idea." and I, you know, this is just how she is. She's like, "Okay, great." And I'm like, "Well, hey, hold on. Let me, you know, you want me to hook you up with, you know, Pat Barry, president, or, you know, we can figure out exactly where you want to go. And if, you know, we need to do something." She's like, "No, I'll just call the number." So she just called up the number and got a ticket rep.
Wait, I didn't check the scarf. Is her name on the scarf?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, maybe she got it too late. I bet she
was. I don't know. Yeah, she probably
missed the deadline.
Was that the November deadline?
Yeah.
I can't remember which
one. Yeah, I bet she missed
it. She might have just missed that.
Maybe next year, Carolyn.
But she's, but she's been really enjoying. She's been enjoying.
She does seem to have fun.
Getting to know the sport. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, again, back to the love of the city. So, it's a combination of those. So, you know, Jim and I came at it for soccer and you guys know 5 years ago, this was just about trying to continue to grow the game and bring the highest level we could at the time to the city. And now to be able to merge these activities in terms of they're coming at it from a business and all the great things the Taylor family's done. It's just really cool. But yeah, there's no doubt that Saturday and especially in that second half there, she was one of about 1,000 people in that corner having a really, really good time. Yeah. So
speaking of the Taylor family, I did notice that there was a new addition to the Taylor pictures with Mr. Garber. I saw that Andy was in the picture.
Andy has been at more things than maybe people realize.
But usually not in front of the camera. He it was good to see him in that picture. Also, I'm sure it was just a complete coincidence with the arch in the background of that picture.
Yeah.
I can't comment on the setting. Okay. Other than to say Andy has been very involved overall. But yeah, I understand he hasn't been in as many of the photos maybe as Carolyn has.
Well, let's be honest. One of them's a little more photogenic than the other one. And it's nothing against Andy, but, you know, the age difference alone is
Fair enough.
I don't expect you to tell us, you know, the names of the company that were in the room, but I mean, just in general, would we know the names of these companies? Are these St. Louis companies? Are these national companies?
No, we were exclusive. Sorry to cut you off there, Brad, but where you're going with it. Yeah, no, we exclusively were focused on St. Louis companies. We wanted the commissioner to see the St. Louis companies that make up, you know, kind of a majority of St. Louis. I forget the stat. I heard one of Carolyn's interviews today, but, you know, the people around the room represented, you know, well over a million employees total. And I forget how many of those were in the St. Louis area. So it is the, you know, picture the biggest names you've heard, or you're looking at any kind of corporate support, whether it's for the arts or sports or the Cardinals, the Blues, and it's going to be the biggest companies around town that were there.
I noticed Aaron Maurice from Elm St. Louis wasn't there. Yeah. That was kind of a glaring omission there.
You know, sometimes the invitations don't get returned, and you know.
Well, and sometimes you bring the big fish in on one-on-one.
Oh,
they don't
want
to be in the group
setting. I'm sure that's what
fair. Yeah, thank you, Brad. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
All right,
recovery.
Brad's great at coaching for you.
You don't have to confirm or deny this, but
okay.
If Panera Bread happened to be in the room, please tell me that everyone is aware of our thoughts. You know, first expressed by Matt Bird that the St. Louis Bread Company on the home shirt and Panera on the away shirt, would really be a nice move. I mean, they recognize the genius of that idea, even if they're not ready to step up to that level, right?
And even if they weren't in the room, I just want to be clear. And I'm not confirming nor denying any of the participants in the room, but I will confirm that I think the idea of away and home and Panera versus St. Louis Bread is absolutely brilliant.
Okay. We just want our brilliance acknowledged.
Did I say that? Yeah. Did I say that properly?
Yes.
Did I say that?
You didn't commit to anything. Yes. Perfect.
No, you did well.
Yeah, just want to make sure.
I can edit it in post if you don't.
No. All right. And the other big thing is, and obviously this comes up, I don't know, roughly 47 times a day on Twitter. Where are those stadium plans? I know Carolyn said today that, you know, you've seen some things, but you haven't exactly locked down, you know, exactly, because you're still looking at some options. You know, can we tell people when they're coming, or is it just, hey, they'll be here when they get here?
Yeah, it's the latter.
Okay.
You know, I just don't want to set any false expectations.
Right.
But
you have seen some
things,
right?
We're being really thoughtful and diligent about it, and that's taking way longer than we had expected. But the fruits of the labor will be well worth it.
You're not going to play in the dome, are you?
Again, I can neither confirm nor deny. We are not playing in the dome. Let's be clear.
Thank you.
And I know you're busy, and we're going to let you go. But I have
he's got the bachelor to get back.
That's
to.
Right. I've got one more thing to go with you on this. Is you know, we've been pushing awfully hard, and I know Jim and you have beat this drum, and Carolyn at different times in the past, about, you know, the fans showing their support for the MLS, you know, movement, the campaign, by supporting St. Louis FC. And I mean, you know, we're getting some pushback on that, like, oh, that's not that important, or that's not, you know, really what Don's looking at. I mean, he is looking at these things, isn't he?
Yeah, I was in the room the other two times, and there's no absolutes in this process, I guess, is the way to.
Yeah, I'm not saying
Brad.
That's going to be, but just on that one factor. Obviously, there's a hundred things that go into this, but.
Correct. Yeah. So he and the league, they're monitoring everything. They're monitoring market size. They're monitoring corporate support. What's the ownership group like? What's going on in soccer in general in the area? And, you know, again, I'm biased, and I'm so invested, as evidenced by
certain photographic evidence.
Yes, photographic evidence, and just so, you know, just love this team. I obviously would love for people just to automatically jump on board, and I think it would be great, and it can do nothing but bolster our efforts.
Yeah.
Having said that, again, there's no absolutes in this, and it's not a if you don't this, then that sort of thing in any way, shape, or form. So,
well, I
I'm going to continue to beat the drum that to me, there's no better experience in town. And if you love soccer and you want to come out and get a taste of what it would be like, then come on out. The other reality is, even if we sell out at six, let's just say 6,000 people, you know, we need four times that,
sure.
And at the MLS level. So we have to reach all sorts of fans, not just the existing St. Louis FC fans. We got to continue to broaden the base. And that's what the group's really trying to do and balance. So,
well, I'll just say that, you know, there was somebody, you know, telling me just to lay off the attendance thing today. And my response was, well, I'm never going to tweet, hey guys, attendance was great. We don't need any more coming out on Saturday. I mean, we always want more. This is regardless of MLS. We want more people to the party.
Just go back and look at your timeline over the last five years as you've been trying to educate people. And again, it's a passion of your guys, just like it is of mine or ours. And we've all been doing it in our different ways over the past 5 years. And it's just because we love it and we think it's a great way to grow the game. And if you can get one friend out and they experience it once, you've heard Jim say this many times, people just, they end up coming back. So we gotta keep doing more of that. So
I think Andy has one question before you get out of here.
Before you go, sure. So I have one thing for you. So whether it be during a group presentation or during a visit that Don would have to St. Louis, has there been that one thing or multiple things where he's just kind of been taken aback, like, wow, this is really cool, or this is really impressive, not either by anything you've presented, just something he's noticed on his own that he's really taken notice of that maybe you didn't expect him to take notice of?
Really, really interesting question. So
that's why we brought him on.
Let's make a record not to have him back.
No more interesting questions on this show.
Yeah, seen and not heard.
I can't take this. No, you know, so he's for this effort, this is the first time I think he's been back in town, if I have my facts correct. So I can really just reflect on yesterday. And again, he said this himself, and quote, you know, he's been to a lot of cities that are courting MLS and MLS courting them. It's kind of a bi-directional thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was quoted as saying, I'm not sure he's ever been in a room with that many CEOs of the top companies. And in a way, it was so perfectly St. Louis is the way I'd answer that question.
It's a huge compliment.
I don't think he expected that. And to know how St. Louis rallies together when something's really important to us, and it's more than just the sport. It's about the continued renaissance and everything we're trying to do as a community. So that would be my answer to that. That's one. But really good question.
Thanks. That's a huge answer.
Yep.
I mean, people should take a lot of positives away from this conversation. It's thank you, Tom. We appreciate your time. We know Colton and the Bachelor is waiting your attention. We don't want to keep you too long. We know you work all day long and you need your unwind time. So,
thank you, thank you. Yes, I'm speechless. You know, you make a little joke off air, and before you know it, it gets right on the tape. Yep.
Hey,
nothing less from you guys.
But you know what? It's all fun because
it is all fun.
We're keeping it silly, but we're keeping factual. So.
Absolutely. Hey, are you guys traveling this weekend? I can't remember.
Yeah, Brad and I are. Andy is not. Andy will be at our friends Llewellyn's for the first watch party there.
Care of the watch party.
Are you joining us in Nashville?
I cannot make Nashville, but I am trying to free up my afternoon schedule to get over to Llewellyn's. I want to check out the new place and certainly appreciate their support. Looking forward to that venue. So it should be a lot of fun.
And
thank you guys, everyone that's traveling and that listens to the podcast. You know, the guys really, really appreciate it. And hopefully we can lift them to 3 points there.
We'll bring you back some Yingling.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, awesome. Guys. You take care.
Bye. Bye.
Let's take another break. And
Do you need a break?
Yes, I do need a break. And we'll be back with listener questions.
We're back. We're not doing a bumper this time since we already had one good one.
There we go.
How about Fred?
Fred's a good guy, and, you know, everything is positive news that's going on right now.
It was funny because when things came out today and I saw people talking and I saw the normal sky is falling, gloom and doom, you know, oh, we're not getting enough. But to hear it from somebody that's actually in the room, this should really shut up a lot of the haters.
Well, it won't.
No,
it won't.
But I mean, but there it is. It's coming from the person that's sitting there. And Andy's question was fantastic because right. it hit that point right away.
But it also, it's sort of a microcosm of the whole expansion chase in and of itself. You know, there were 8 cities and then there were 3 cities and now it's down to 2 cities for this last spot. Just like it, it's not in the MLS's best interest to announce it today. It's in their best interest to drag this on a little longer and get everybody's game up. The same thing. They're not going to announce the shirt sponsor today. They're going to introduce a bunch of companies who are thinking about it and, you know, it'll get there, but it's not going to be just because it's not announced today doesn't mean it's not well on its way.
What you have to imagine is that they'll name 5 or 10 companies that are team sponsors.
Yeah. Premier sponsors.
You know, yeah. Hey, these companies are sponsors. And then they'll announce the shirt sponsor later from one of those 10. You know, it's
and Sacramento's a little different because they've already talked about UC Davis. I mean, UC Davis sponsors their current USL team, and we are in a bit of a different situation in that the ownership group, while it is contained within the MLS ownership group, it's not the same exact ownership.
Right.
If it was the same team, then maybe we'd be a little different in how we're approaching it. But
well, and that's the other thing, too, is that people tend to forget almost every team that has come in the past 5 teams are unique situations.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no 2 have been the same.
And Sacramento, they've had their stadium plan done for a long time. Now that a new owner has come in, that's kind of upended it, and they're going to make some changes, which is to be expected. So I think I get why people panic and they want to panic, but I'm not panicked about this group and what they're doing.
I'm just tired of people. That's all it comes down to.
You and me both.
I'm enjoying what we have today, and that's all I can do today.
Yeah, and I think
I can't worry about tomorrow. I worry about Saturday.
Yeah.
But I will not worry past Saturday.
I think some of my focus now is going to switch to, if you want MLS, you know, that's one thing, but you should be supporting St. Louis FC in and of itself.
It's almost like you put out an image on social media today about supporting local soccer.
Yeah, I mean, but it holds true, and it's not just St. Louis FC. It's Maritza, it's Club Atletico, it's the Lions, it's the Women's Lions, it's the Fire and Ice, it's even the Ambush. I mean, there's tons of soccer that you can be a part of. And then it goes down to the colleges and the youth clubs. I mean, we talk about the families who spend all day at soccer park with their kids in different tournaments and stuff. I mean, that is supporting local soccer, and I appreciate whatever support you're giving to local soccer.
But come out to St. Louis FC.
Because it's fun.
Yeah. I think Saturday was proof positive of that. The rain stopped. The heavens opened.
It was a crazy party in the corner that second
half. It was amazing. It was one of the... We've had a lot of great times, but I honestly feel
one of the best.
It was one of the best.
Coming from behind,
Let's get some questions going.
Yeah, Andy's going to read our questions.
Brad's going to take the night off from being news girl. Andy
That's
is
right.
the news girl tonight.
News girl, how about that?
Wake me if you need me.
So the first one is from Matt Baker. Matt wants to know, he's trying to plan family vacations and trips and wants to know, are there buses still planned for Swope, Indy, Louisville, and any other like Memphis planned?
Yes, so those are still getting figured out with the team, with Schlafly, with all our friends that get involved in this kind of stuff. Those three, Louisville, Indy, KC, are pretty much the ones that we're heavily looking at. Memphis, we're still not too certain on. Reason being is that Memphis is a lot like Nashville, where it's a great destination to spend a weekend. You know, you can go down and hit the blues bars and get some amazing barbecue and stuff like that. And
plus, it's harder to fill a bus because you are spending the night on that trip and because the drivers can't drive over a certain number of hours. So only are you getting people to commit to buying a ticket and buying a bus, but buying a hotel.
Right. Now, granted, we could do a there and back that night very easily. It is in that range. But, I mean, Memphis is a fun city. And
it's a good time.
And I'll be honest, part of this supporting local soccer is supporting the community, like Tom just said.
Yeah.
So if there's a chance to go enjoy a good city like Memphis or something like that, let's do it. I mean, people in St. Louis go to Kansas City all the time. They go to Chicago all the time. You know, whatever. That's not a big deal to do the buses. You know, in Louisville, obviously the bus is a big deal because
we want to get as many people there as possible.
Yeah. You know, and Indy will be just because of the distance that I think, you know, it's a little bit, it's the furthest of all these cities that we've named, but you know, it's a doable trip, and you know, we'll see. But I would say those are probably the ones that we're looking at this time, subject to change.
There you go.
Trent asks, well, first of all, his
actually, hold on. Before you get to that, Matt Baker, great dude.
Yeah. Yes.
Another guy that has stepped up great this year. He was kind of on the peripheral last year, kind of stepped in a lot this year. Really good dude. Just goes to show up, introduce yourself.
Rest falls into place.
Yep. I remember Matt from our AGM at maybe Schlafly, because his daughter was young. Mm-hmm. She was in a picture as a baby.
Adorable.
And it was cool seeing the pictures of her out there this weekend in the rain, you know,
on daddy's shoulders.
Out there on daddy's shoulders cheering. I mean, we talk about this, you know, the Ewan Birds and the Willinos and the kids that are growing up in this culture, that it's going to be fun, you know, probably not me because I'm going to die in 10 years, but
five.
Yeah. Some of you people will know these kids as young adults that have been coming to soccer their whole life. And that's cool.
And one sidebar to our friend Willinho, Sarah's Wheel of Judgment did get spinned several times. We had a charity donation. But Willinho's choice did come up, and his answer was to stick your face in the creek.
He went off the board. None of us predicted that.
Nope.
But that's why Willinho's choice is on the board.
We did tell him that it happened. It didn't actually happen. We're afraid of some brand new version of hepatitis being found in there.
Yes, that creek is a little sketchy.
Yeah, but so beware of Willinho's choice.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Another one. So this is Trent. Said, first of all, good work as always, gentlemen. Great 3 points by the boys. It was mentioned by one of the players last week, maybe Austin, that he felt FC could climb as high as third or fourth in the table in the East this year. Is this a legit possibility? And who are the true contenders for the East?
It's too early to know.
I am going to say it's legit because I have hope. Yeah. And it's the hope that kills you.
Oh, it's not out of the question. Like last year, I would have said no way. It's definitely in the realm of possibility this year.
Having the amount of returning quality players we did, and adding additional good players, I have hope.
I think on paper, Red Bull, you always have to look out for because they've got a lot of young talent. Like I said earlier, Indy and Nashville spent a ton of money. Just because we beat them the first week, that, you know, it's a long season, and I think they will improve. Tampa Bay is always a good choice. And Louisville. You know, fuck, there it is. Louisville's, you know, the beast in the East.
Always.
So, yeah, there's a lot of good teams, and hopefully we will be in that conversation.
I think we will. I do. I think, you know, there's a lot of room, and there's a lot of opportunity for other teams as
Another year of Bob Lilly in Pittsburgh, too. They could be good.
It's going to be a great year.
Yep.
You know, we made the playoffs, so let's try to get a home playoff game this time.
That's the goal, yeah.
Random Haas wants to know, can you name one or two guys who were a big part of both goals on Saturday?
So
both the goals were kind of broken play, ugly, you know. It wasn't like there was a lot of build-up that I could say. But Kyle Gregg's doing a lot of work out there.
Russell Cicerone.
Yeah.
We'll have to find out.
Lewis is in the middle. You know, I think it was Lewis's ball into Gregg, which finally fell to, was it that the fan goal or the Austin goal? I forget. Or the Cicerone goal. Yeah, it's early. But I saw a lot of life out there from players. I think Rivas had a good shift when he came in. And obviously his week was disrupted by national team duty, so it'll be nice to see him when he's got a full week of training with the team.
I'm super impressed with Fanwell.
Fanwell's,
He had a great game. I'd be hard-pressed to say, if somebody said who was the actual man of the match, I'd be hard not to point to him, because he worked his ass off.
Yeah, and I think, Russell won Cicerone won the Pleat Steam man of the match. I think, you know,
that usually goes to a goal scorer. Yeah. It almost always does.
But he had another really good play where he didn't score, that he put it just over the bar.
Yep.
Jake had a great day. I mean, that penalty save was huge, but he also had a couple saves during the run of play that, yeah, I don't know if I would say one or two players really were the difference this game. But I saw a lot of good signs out there.
Matt Bird sent us a question. Smug Holiday Bastard. How much better is a podcast without an opinionated loudmouth on the sofa?
Well, Andy is here, so I don't want to talk about it.
Shut up, dickhead.
There you go.
No, you know, I miss Matt Bird, and Matt Bird does not talk as much as he used to.
Because he's exhausted
from
the
babies. Because he's exhausted. He gets here, and he sort of takes the night off when he's...
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
I think a better pod would be without me, because I'm the one that talks too much, and I'm the one that steps on all of Mitch's jokes.
There'd be nothing to talk about, because you're the only one that actually does the preparation.
Are you saying I can't take a night off?
Nope, not at all.
Damn it.
You can take as many nights off as I do.
Okay.
How about that? We'll make a pact.
All right. We miss you, Matt Bird. We do.
Will Bramlett wants to know, how much more fun would it have been to play Sacramento this year?
You know what? I think I'd rather play them in the final.
That's what Brian Simpson said.
Yeah. I think by then, though...
Good thinking, Brian.
I think by then, the expansion team will have been decided.
Yeah.
I mean, this happened before when Cincinnati played Nashville, or when Cincinnati played, you know, Sacramento or whatever. You know, it comes up, and it's fun to joke about. I think I would have rather played Sacramento the Preki year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think there would have been more, you know, banter over that. And again, as much as I want St.
Louis... We miss Preki less than you.
Yeah. As much as I want St. Louis to get MLS, and obviously I do have some misgivings about that, because I will miss USL and what we've got right now. I do not begrudge Sacramento. This isn't a case where I'm like, we deserve it more than they do.
They're not going to put out shirts because they tied their first game.
No. But Sacramento's done everything right, and so I'm not. It's not like I have
like,
any
I
bad
blood. I legitimately
want
Sacramento to get an MLS team.
Yeah,
they've done everything.
I've wanted that for them for 4 years.
Yeah,
and they are the new St. Louis. The old St. Louis used to be the bait team. Now Sacramento has become the bait team.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it would be fun to play Sacramento though, because they're a good team.
Fan Van. Obviously, there was a lot of early season rust, but standouts had to be Cicerone and Rivas. We're lucky to have a guy like Fink as captain. His reaction at full time was magic. Who impressed you the most from week one?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we kind of covered it in the previous question, but I mean, Fink, obviously, he's our kind of guy.
Always has been.
And yeah, I'm always going to love him. Fan, Mitch mentioned, had a great game. Fan is a guy that maybe we didn't get as much of an early impression of last year because he was kind of injured at the beginning of the season. But I think towards the end, he kind of came into his own, and we appreciate what we've got with Fan. But as far as the new guys, yeah, I think Bradley, I can't ever say his last name. But
Camden Fiwo.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's impressed me
very
through preseason
much so.
And looked good yesterday.
Yeah, Stuart asked me what our thoughts were. That was going to be Stuart's question, was that what we thought. And again, another really solid guy that just fits into this model.
Cicerone, we saw what he can do a little bit. Like I said, with Rivas, I'll be glad to see him after he's kind of had a full week of training with the guys. But his natural ability, obviously, is great. And then even Bonner on the other side of defense. I like the way he gets forward, and it'll be neat to see when he starts clicking. So there's a lot of bright spots in the new guys. But I think maybe Bradley is quietly my my favorite one to watch out there.
That's a pretty good one.
It's
so happy seeing a healthy Austin Martz out there.
Yeah, he's like a new player.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But there was a couple times on Saturday where he came down that flank, and it was just like, oh, shit, here it goes.
Zach, Snared Luligan. I think the team resolve was the big thing for me. Disallowed goal to penalty saving was a roller coaster of emotion, but the team hunkered down like last year and found a way to make it happen. Plus, the Fennelson save, just top class. So just a comment from Zach. He did leave us a question. He wants to know if there's any feedback from the game. So the drums, the chants, etc. He said he'll start a discussion group if we need to. Anything you want to see done more, or anything you want to cut back and do less before the 23rd?
More Zach. I always want
always
more
Zach.
Yeah, week one was amazing. I mean, obviously, it's always, you know, getting into the season form and some of the new people in the corner not really knowing the chance and stuff. But I think it went really well.
But by second half, everybody picked. I mean, and that's the thing. Zach and Sam and the guys have come up with new chance. They did a great job. I just, it is, again, I was telling you guys off mic a few minutes ago. When I go down to present that man of the match bucket and you stand on the field looking up at the corner, it is completely different. It is the most unique experience ever because you see what those players have to deal with. If we come in, you know, opposing comes in for a corner, and Carolyn turned to me and just, wow. And her eyes were as big as saucers because you don't get the power of that corner until you're in its full force, until it's directed at you. And they're amazing. They're amazing. Again, this is, you know, top flight. 110%.
All the guys are amazing. And, Zach, you'll know you've gone too far when everybody stops and looks at you. So keep going until you get that.
It's called the Brad effect.
Yeah.
So this one is a little more MLS for the Lou. Garibear wants to know, now that we know it's St. Louis versus Sacramento, what do they have that we don't and the other way around? I know they have attendance, but our ownership group has deeper pockets. Judging from St. Louis versus Philly 10 years back, it seems pockets are more important.
Yeah, always with MLS, money talks. I think it's not just the owner's overall value, though. It's what they think the value of the franchise could become.
With the community as well, too. I mean,
and we talk about the great rivalries we would have with Kansas City and with Chicago or whatever, but that's a very nice pairing with San Jose if Sacramento got it. And to build a California Derby or whatever.
But I think California's kind of established. And granted, yes, it's still 3, 4, 5 hours for them to get from some of these towns. Yeah. But to see how that Midwest fills out, because for a long time, in MLS, you had Columbus, Chicago, Kansas City.
Yeah.
That was it. There was nothing. And obviously, Minnesota's not the north or, you know, they're kind of north. But you have all these teams that are within close range that you can build up rivalries between 5 or 6 teams. That is going to be on television very well.
But you might say, we've already put enough teams in the Midwest. Let's build out another area of the country. So I think Sacramento gets an advantage there.
Maybe, but I mean,
I'm not saying it's just two different ways to look at the same
potato,
question.
Potato, potato. Right. It really is. But I think the real answer I want to say is it's the entire package.
Yeah.
It's the fan support. It's the commercial support. It's the deep pockets. You know, I think it's,
but we also know there's a lot of money in California. I mean, not just for the ownership group, but for the sponsorship opportunities. Yeah. and I know people say, you know, the new guy, he's not really Sacramento, and he's not, but a billionaire is a billionaire.
And let's be honest, not to keep hammering this point, women ownership. It's huge.
It is a big thing.
It's huge. I mean, soccer is for everybody, and that helps hammer that point home.
But I'm just kind of trying to look at it from what could Sacramento have.
In my mind, the scales are very balanced with us as slightly, you know, like 60-40.
I think we have a couple of deciders on our side of the ledger, but I would not be 1,000% shocked if Sacramento gets it.
And I wouldn't begrudge them.
I would not begrudge Sacramento. I think St. Louis is probably the smarter move right now, but I mean, and Carolyn has said just today, you know, she doesn't think they'll stick around for team 29 and 30, which we all know they're going to go to 29 and 30 at least. I don't know. We'll see, but don't discount Sacramento. It's a good bid. I just think St. Louis is probably a little better.
We made it to the last page. Claude Carricker wants to know, how cool was it to fight back and win a tight game after going down late, especially against a team that should end up being pretty good?
It was way cool, Claude. It was way cool.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the disallowed goal and just
seeing the smoke and then realizing,
credit to the Indy fans for coming and, you know, that had to help their guys.
Oh, yeah.
Pushing towards it, now having that corner. But, you know, this is a team that doesn't quit. we saw it last year. We're seeing it again already.
This I was going to say, it's good to see it's a carryover from that last year because, you know, you get the alert on your phone that you're losing 1-0, yeah. And you're like, oh, shit. Okay, we got time. We can tie this game still. And they get the tying goal, like, okay, we'll settle for a point against Indy on the first game out. They're a good team. And then you get that go-ahead and you win. Yeah. I mean, it's huge for the first one.
I think, you know, it's now become a character trait. It's not a one-off. It's not, wow, we got lucky and we came back and got those points. It's like, yeah, that's who this team is. So it's way cool, but it's also way cool that's our team. That's what they do.
Yeah, and we talked about it last year ad nauseum, but the Sam Fink header to win that game, it wasn't Reno. It was, God, who was it? Bird would know. Miss you, Matt Bird.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of where you
saw. No, it was Reno.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it was. Couldn't remember. But that's one of those things where you've seen that character was established that day, and it hasn't stopped since. Yeah. And that is freaking cool.
That and another thing that's part of our character is we win at home.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crept up on us, but we've got a pretty damn good record under Ant at home, and I think long may that continue.
Goddamn right.
James Costin. Hollywood. He wants to know who would like to sponsor his next trip since now he's 2-0 at home since moving out west. I think he could squat at the Stratford Inn down the street. Yeah. I think there's rooms there to start.
James, I would like to sponsor you. I unfortunately do not have the wherewithal financially to sponsor a trip to St. Louis.
I can't sponsor a trip to Nashville from St. Louis, yeah, much less
LA. We had to split an Airbnb 10 ways to make it work. James, you're welcome anytime. Anytime you make the trip home, we will we'll buy your ticket. I think he has season tickets.
He has season tickets. So.
We'll buy your beer.
Yeah. We'll make sure he is well liquefied.
So, yeah.
Jeff wants to know, do we know why Sean was on the bench Saturday?
I can only assume it's because he came into the season with a little bit of a you know, lingering, I don't want to say injury, but some soreness. He played some preseason games. I can only imagine they're just giving him a little bit more time. Didn't need him now that, you know, Sam and Fink and Fanwell were both healthy.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that we have a good stack at defense. Yeah.
I still think Sam or Sean will be our number one choice at center back with Sam. But and I think they find a place for Kavita to fit in there as well. But I would just say it was probably a cautionary move to have Sam not play.
Sean.
Sorry. All the S's.
David, I hope I get this right. Semmelmeyer, do we look like a team that is going to rely on counters a lot this season, or was that just a response to the pressure of Indy?
A little bit of A, a little bit of B.
Yeah, I mean, I think Indy is one of those teams that plays a high press.
Yeah.
They that's been their style, and they have the talent to do so.
Yeah.
And
we know Ant likes to press, too. But he's built a very strong, solid, keep-your-shape defensive squad.
And let's also point out that we have the talent to counter now.
Right.
Where in years past, we didn't necessarily. But now we have, you know, you have that back line that can make that first pass. Or even a long. We know Sam loves the long ball. Yeah.
But I think we also have the talent offensively to run offensive sets, and I just think it's early in the season. Ant has probably preached to them, keep your shape, stay organized,
and Indy was and pushing hit on the hard counter. At the end too.
Yeah,
so I mean that did help the counter.
But I mean we saw it at times last year. I think it will rear its head, but I don't think that's the only way we can play, which is, you know, part of Ant's, you know, wanting to have three or four different looks that we can roll out at any time.
Yeah, and that was something, too, that Stewie and I were talking about, is that, you know, we're not going to see the same formation out there because he plays to the strengths and the weaknesses of the other team as well, and he does it very well. So, you know, you're not running a 4-4-2 out there every time, or you're not running a diamond four or whatever.
It keeps the other team on their toes, but I think at times you do what the other team allows you to do, and that's what kind of showed last week.
And it works.
It worked, yeah.
It worked.
Matt Baker again has a two-part question. One is for MLS and
damn
one
it,
is,
Baker, you're pushing it now.
So I think the first part with the MLS, Tom touched on a lot, but we'll read it anyway. As much as can be talked about, what was the tone, mood, and feelings on the St. Louis business side of things with the interactions with Don?
Drugs, sex, and rock and roll.
Covered. Check. USL question. Just how much stock should we put in that win against Indy? They're supposed to be great, but haven't gelled well early.
Yeah, it's early. I don't think you can put much stock in any game that happens in week one.
Just like I don't think you can put stock into Louisville going down four.
Right. It does not bode ill for them. I think they're still going to be a really good team. I still think there's time for Indy to, you know, become a very good team in the East.
It's game three or game four where you start to concern and worry.
I'll even say game six when you got a month in and you've looked at it. But even then, teams can go into tailspins and teams can go on runs. So, yeah, I'm glad we got the 3 points because 3 points in the bank is always a good thing. But I'm not, saying, well, that's it. Let's start engraving our name on the trophy.
Trent wants to know, crowd size at First Tennessee Park for their opener was just a little more than FC's. Do you expect a large home support on Saturday night in downtown Nashville for the 7 p.m. kickoff against STLFC?
I think so. I mean,
yeah. They've drawn pretty well. I mean, I don't know exactly what the situation was last week, why it wasn't a good week for them, but
Well, it wasn't a good week for us. The weather sucked.
I think it was for them too.
Yeah, I was going to say the weather went right there because I saw Louisville had weather issues too. And
I expect Nashville to have a good crowd. If you are making the trip, we know we will be in that grassy outfield area. And it's going to be muddy. It's going to be nasty. So, you know, they said don't wear good shoes.
Yeah, I'm bringing two pairs.
Nashville's in a weird situation right now because they're playing in a baseball field. They are making plans for their new, MLS stadium, but I think they're going to play in Vanderbilt next year. So they really don't have a home field. But they'll have a good crowd at the baseball field, I'm sure.
So will we.
Yeah.
Tommy Schulte. Even though we've only
played... friend from Colorado, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Even though we've only played one regular season game, and I know it's early, any initial noticeable differences between the squad this year and the team last year?
I think it feels a little more balanced. Like, not having Walfall, I was worried in the offseason. But I can see how it's spread out over more guys.
I still miss Walfall.
Who wouldn't? But I'm just saying, you can see that, instead of getting another Walfall replacement, they spread it out over a few more guys.
Yeah, I don't know if I think it's kind of too early to know what the team's going to look like, mid-season. But, overall, it's Ant's team. It's the way he dictates the play. It's the way he demands stuff from his players. I think that will be very similar now. Obviously, if Kyle Gregg scores like he did last year and we get Rivas pumping in double digits and maybe, Cicerone contributing a lot of goals, obviously it changes the kind of team we are. We can score some goals, but I think it's still too early to really tell what the team's really going to be like.
Our last one comes from Patrick Blanton. He wants to know, what's the away trip that you're looking forward to the most this year?
Patrick in Louisville.
It's always Louisville. It's always Louisville.
I'm looking forward to it because I want my bus to make it this time.
No promises.
Yeah.
No.
But no, it's always because, A, they're good people down there.
Yeah, we have a good rivalry.
A good rivalry. B, it's...
We came into the league at the same time. Yeah.
They're champs. I want to, But C, and most importantly... I want to fucking beat them this year.
Yeah.
In their house. I want this to be the year that we say, no more.
That would be nice.
That's what I want. So that's what I... And the bus trip down there and back... bus trip down there is always a blast.
Yeah.
I want the one
coming
back.
I don't remember the bus trip back, usually.
Yeah, usually we're passed out.
Yeah.
But I want this year to be like it was in Kansas City last year.
That and the fact that... I mean, for as much as Louisville has dominated us on the field... It really has, head-to-head, we're not that bad.
No.
We usually play them tough. Now, we don't win, but we usually play them tough every game.
2-1.
So, I just always love those games. And yes, there's always either a bunch of us there or a bunch of them here. That's always good. And it's not aggro. It's not, you know, ultras, you know, waiting for things to kick off. It's just two good groups of fans supporting their team.
I am looking forward to Saturday, though.
Saturday in Nashville will be fun, yeah.
Saturday will be fun. It's second game against a potentially good team.
Nashville's a cool city.
Great city. We're going to have a
good
time.
Third man records.
Yeah.
Hot chicken.
Yingling.
All that.
Mm-hmm. Broadway. I don't know if we're going to do third man, though.
We're not going to have a lot of time, but we'll try to squeeze third man in there.
I just got a shipment from them a couple weeks ago, so.
I didn't.
If I come home with more, I can't go there and not buy stuff.
You can keep it in my trunk and take it, smuggle it in one piece at a time.
I hope we can do Monell's.
That'd be cool.
I really like to do Monell's.
And there'll be a bunch of other Luligans in town, so we'll probably look to meet up with you guys and
have
some fun.
Yeah, I think some people are making it down Thursday or Friday. You know, we'll be, Brad and I will be down there on Saturday, rolling in.
Maybe do some honky-tonking Saturday night.
Goddamn right we are. It's funny, I hate country music, but I love
there
Nashville.
There it works,
it's not...
It's not the terrible, terrible country.
And there's a lot of pop. People don't realize how much pop rock gets played in those bars.
Yeah.
Because they're cover bands that want to make money.
Yeah.
So they're going to throw Journey in. Or they're going to, you know, they're going to throw 80s music in because it's going to get the girls dancing and the guys drinking and throwing
and
money around.
The country is like good old country. It's not like,
you
know, the country rap stuff that happens now.
Yeah.
Flip-flop country.
Yes,
is that what you call it? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep, there you go. Flip-flop country. I like that. That is a great... I'm stealing that. That's beautiful.
Nab it.
All right, we're done with questions. Let's just remind everybody, big game this weekend in Nashville. If you need tickets to the supporter section, we will post that again this week. If you're staying in town, please join my friend Andy at Llewellyn's.
Come on out.
And if you're on Facebook, please RSVP. That way they can kind of plan the appropriate space they need to kind of reserve for us. And get that app if you're going to Llewellyn's, because you can save money on food and drinks and get special notifications and things like that. And then the big game at home, the 23rd versus Tampa Bay Rowdies.
We'll talk again before then, though.
We'll talk again before then, but get those tickets now. I know they had a flash sale for $9. That's over, but there's a new all-inclusive sale. Two tickets for $70, and it includes all the food and everything.
Wow.
So if you don't want to stand with us in the corner and get silly, maybe you're a little too high class to slum it with us, get those all-inclusive tickets and eat and drink and be happy.
Or do that and just come hang out.
Yep. And one last thing, Jeremy wanted to thank everybody for the amazing atmosphere on Saturday. The players really appreciate it. They all talked about it in the locker room afterwards, how great it was. So let's just keep doing that, and see you back at the park.
See ya. You had too much to think, now you need a wife. Steady as